Okay, we're in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Now understand, if you are a saved person here tonight, then you have God's call. Okay, this is God's call. As a saved person, you have that on you. You know, there's a lot of things that we're called that a lot of Christians don't realize. You know, when you see a command for a Christian, that's a call on a Christian. For an example, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Okay, that's the will of God. Okay, so in everything, give thanks. And when we're not willing to do that, then we're not walking in the will of God. And so you have a call to liberty, but with all of that, that you're called to liberty, that call is followed by a commandment. And that commandment is very imperative. It's what they call in the Greek, imperative. And there's actually two commandments that are here. And so first, the first commandment is only, use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Now, there are people today that are applying liberty to so many things. You know, it's all right to social drink. It's all right to smoke. It's all right to do this, all right to do that. And so many things they've tried to apply liberty to. We've got the liberty to do this. And what they don't know is, yes, they have the liberty to sin, but God punishes it. And so when you're saying something that's of the flesh and you've got liberty to do it, then what you're saying is, yes, I've got liberty to go ahead and go against God. Yeah, I mean, you have that liberty, but God does punish it. Okay, so understand, God doesn't strike you dead right at that moment when you do those things, but you should know better than to do them. Use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. And let me just give you an example of that. The Bible warned of these days that we live in Jude verse 4, where it said, certain men crept in unawares, turning the grace of God to lasciviousness. Have you ever wondered why a lot of these churches around have lost their standards? They've gone into this contemporary thing, and then in addition to that, they start quit having, I mean, a lot of them not even having church services tonight. A lot of them won't have a church service on Wednesday night. First, they quit having, on Wednesday nights, they changed to having club meetings. You know, sewing clubs, how to hunt clubs, and things like that. Not really Bible clubs, you know. And then they just quit having those things altogether. And so, what is that? That is things that appeal to my flesh, you see. That's what I want to do. And so they said, yeah, we've got liberty to do this. So what are they doing? Anything goes, as the word lascivious has the idea, so they're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. That's what they're calling liberty. They're calling it grace. And they say, we can do this. And so that is exactly what they are doing. But now there's a second commandment here. He says that in love to serve one another. Now, because it is an imperative command, and it is in what they call the present Greek tense, which means simply this. If it's a command to do something, start doing it and don't stop until you go to heaven. If it's a command to stop doing it and not do it, then the command is don't do this again. If you're doing it now, don't do it and don't ever do it again. Okay, that is the idea of an imperative commandment. And that's what you have here in these verses. For we're going to be called into an account. And so this is a commandment, and this account that we're called into will be at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, he's old-fashioned, and he's back in the 50s or his 60s or whatever. That's fine. If that's the way it was in the 50s or 60s, if it was according to the Word of God, it was biblical, yes, call me old-fashioned. I want to be old-fashioned. You know, that's what I want to be. I want to be what God wants. And see, we have not figured out a better way to do it than God. Okay. You've figured out how people, should I say, people figured out how the world does it. And marketers, I mean, marketers are pretty wise about these things. They say, okay, we make money off churches by inventing marketing methods for them. They do it, and it takes off from there. And really, you know, even in witnessing, you don't go in there and just say, what do you really think should be a way of salvation? Well, we're going to try to adjust to that. See, that's the way they got the contemporary movement. We're going to adjust to what you would really have in the church. What do you have way in salvation? What do you not like to have preached in the church? You know, those are, I don't think they asked those questions, but they did ask what kind of things they'd like to see in the church, and music and the other things came into it. Not going into these directions that the church is in these standards. What did it do? Well, in many ways, it's hurt missions. In any way, many ways, it has just turned people that were on fire for the Lord. Look, I've had young men that were evangelists that I brought in, kind of helped get them a start. Now they've gone the other direction. I had to tell one of them, we're not having you back. He says, brother, this grieves the Lord. I says, I know it grieves the Lord. You need to change. You know, and really, that's what you see in these things. They're going other directions. And the Bible still is the Bible. It's still the Word of God. And we're supposed to, and still supposed to, use the church, preach the Word according to His Word. That is the way. We don't change it because the culture and the society. If not, the next thing is your woke church. And don't rule that out. Of course, it will eventually go out because judgment begins at the house of God, but it won't go out the way they want it to go out. It'll go out in the mighty judgment hand of God. But these are things that are commands that we're looking here in this verse that if you're saved and you're wanting to go that direction, let's just say that you're somebody, you're sitting in church here and say, well, my parents went here, my grandparents went here, and their parents went here. And so, therefore, I guess I'm going to go to church here. But you get down on everything. You're down on this, you're down on that. Those are things that are going to be brought up at the judgment seat of Christ. And it won't be me bringing it up. It'll be the Lord. And you'll be standing before Him and as you talk to Him. So that's why this verse 13, is very important for a Christian in his walk in the Spirit, because you're not walking in the Spirit if you will not walk in obedience to the Word of God. Even when it says things that you don't want it to say, even when it's applied to your life and it shows sin and shows that you're going the wrong direction, you don't like that, you don't understand anything about it, but understand, that's God's Word. That's God's Word. My biggest problem is if I do not preach the Word of God. It's going to be bad at the judgment seat of Christ for me if I do not preach the Word of God. And I strongly believe that. So, yes, we want to go by the Word of God. We want to be old-fashioned, if that's what it means, going by the Word of God. So I'm just laying that out before we get into the sermon, just for you to understand what this verse is telling us before we start. But let's have a word of prayer first. Father, I pray that as we now delve into this message, Lord, we've just looked at this verse, and obviously you breathed it out for the Apostle Paul to write it down, and you are breathing it out not just for that day, for the generations to follow. This is for the local church. This is for believers. And so, Lord, I pray that we'd have the wisdom to walk in your counsel in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now, knowing that this is a commandment, let us see that and really inspect inwardly, asking the Holy Spirit to show us ourselves. You know, that's the first step in walking with the Spirit, is asking the Holy Spirit to show you yourself through the Word of God. It must be through the Word of God. If you ignore this, then you will not be walking in the Spirit. Now, you might be walking in religion. You might be walking in a walk that makes you feel good about yourself. But you need to find out what God's Word says, because that'll reveal the mind of God to you. And so that is of utmost importance. Now, I'm going to take you to some various scriptures tonight, and I won't be giving you time probably to look them up, so you might want to write them down, but some of these scriptures that you are very familiar with. But I want to take it to them just to look at it as it's important in your walk with God. Because in the Spirit, we want to see the importance to God in your relationship with Him. And so I want to read with you first, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. And the very God, okay, the actual God, the Almighty God, the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. Now, to sanctify you wholly, I mean, is the idea there, it's not H-O-L-Y, you know, W-H-O-L-L-Y when we say holy, when he's saying there. But really, holy is to set you apart for holy service. And to do that, he wants to prepare you and set you apart with your life to serve him, regardless of what your vocation life may be. You may be a salesman. You may be a mechanic. You may be a teacher. There's so many different vocations in this life, but whatever vocation you are, understand, if you're a believer, Jesus said something else in Matthew. Ye are the light of the world. You're supposed to be a light that shines in darkness. Even though the world gets darker around us, when we see what's going on in this world, it just seems darker and darker, just realize, as Christians, we're to shine as lights. Now, it's kind of like waking up in the morning. You wake up in the morning, that overhead light comes on and it's right straight in your eyes, and you don't like that light at all. So, you know, you just want to kind of get out of there, turn around, put your head under the pillow, whatever else. And that's the way a lot of times people are when the light of God's Word is shown clearly, and they're enjoying the darkness and they don't want it. So that is why we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And we're given, upon salvation, we are given His Holy Spirit to indwell us. And so he says, I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I was in college, in the Bible classes, when you get into some of the Bible classes that I took, the teachers would talk about diachronomy, trichronomy. No, at first I thought they're talking about some kind of an economy. Why are we talking about that in here? No, it wasn't about any kind of an economy. But if you're a dichotomist, you believe, now we just read there, your spirit, soul, and body. Well, you believe that the spirit and soul is one if you are a dichotomist. It's one and the same thing. And so, therefore, your soul and body, that makes two. When the Bible says man became a living soul, there are those that are dichotomists that believe, okay, when God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, man became a living soul. Well, we believe that that breathless life was the spirit that he breathed into his nose, and that was the spirit which gave life to that soul and body at that time. And that's what I believe, should I say. But a dichotomist believes, no, it's just the spirit and soul are the same thing. It's just different applications of it. A trichotomist believes that spirit, soul, and body. And that's, by the way, that's what I am. I'm a trichotomist. And so some people, they want to argue. It doesn't matter if somebody doesn't believe the same. I don't care if they're wrong. No, I don't separate somebody on something like that. Those are words that I just go by the Word of God on this. And I believe that when the Lord made a distinction of saying your whole spirit and soul and body. Now, when he says whole, W-H-O-L-E, he's applying that to the whole spirit, the whole soul, and the whole body. Okay, and so it looks like the Bible does make a difference, doesn't it? And so that's why I believe that way. The Bible makes a difference. And so I wouldn't separate from somebody that believes opposite that, because it's not really one of those things that you separate on, because usually they do believe what we believe about salvation, the Bible, the inspiration of the Word of God, everything about that. They just have a hard time with soul and spirit being different. That's about the only area that they have, and that's not an area where you separate. Well, they believe that way, I'm not going to have anything to do with them anymore. No, you don't go that way. But, you know, when we think about this, I like to apply it to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, if your body is going to be also called to an account, because this is, again, telling us, by God's mercy, means He allows us, He's not going to kill us for not being this way, but He's giving us the opportunity to present our bodies a living sacrifice. For your body to be a living sacrifice, then your soul and spirit does need to be involved in that. But it's how the spirit leads in your body. It's how the soul leads in your body. But it's the spirit and soul are important in that idea of present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And even the word service has in its Greek wording, it has the idea of worship. You're even worshiping God with your body when you're walking in a holy manner. Now, I've told you many times before, but it doesn't hurt to repeat, that a living sacrifice, a sacrifice is usually something dead on an altar. But this sacrifice is also like, instead of killing the ox that would pull the plow, the ox was at the master's mercy, so to speak. It was there that the master directed him to pull that plow, the direction to go and everything. He was there and pulling it for the master, the farmer, the man that is there heading that up. Everything else is his. It's his ox, and he's pulling it. And that's what it is. Sometimes there are people that give their lives for the Lord on a field. They're martyred. But then on the other hand, there are those that their life is given to the Lord to pull the plow, to do the work of the Lord, to give it 100%. All for Jesus, I surrender. All to Him I freely give. So our body, spirit, and soul are to be holy. And so now we begin to look at the seat of the inner man as we begin to contemplate the decisions of life. You see, the soul seems to be the seat of man's emotions. You know, there are three areas to me as a trichotomist. A dichotomist, of course, only looks at two, and you look at soul and spirit, but we still are to be holy in all, soul, spirit, and body. We are to be holy. Sometimes you'll hear the dress standards at that Christian school. Is that stupid? No, the person that says that is stupid. You see, why? Because they don't understand. You know, stupidity is not knowing what God says, not knowing what the truth, and so you proceed because it's not what you like. Well, no, there is a standard. Modesty is a standard. Okay, modesty is a standard. And so there are things. I heard somebody one time say, why do I have to wear a belt? What's so spiritual about a belt? Well, no, but I tell you what, if you work a job and they give you this uniform you've got to work in, you got to wear that uniform, you can complain all you want, but you got to wear that uniform. You got to wear that uniform. And, you know, you ever see these military guys? You see policemen, you see firemen, all that. They're in those uniforms. And most of them look like they're proud to have that uniform on. You know? Well, be proud that the way you're dressed is representing Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in a holy way. See, that's when you start coming to doing God's will, God's way, in God's timing. It must always be God's will, God's way. And so, when we get to the things of the soul, it's the seat of our emotions. And those emotions can get wrong if they're not in with the way of God in His Word. Now, all three areas of a trichotomy are to be a man, is to be holy. It was a dichotomy for that as well. But again, in the course of the Trinity, from the very foundation of the world, they're going to make man in their image. Now, I use the word there, not as a plural, but as a singular, but you had three divine persons in one divine essence. That's the Trinity. Jesus did not have a body at that time. So our bodies are not made in the image of God. They're made by the design of God, what God designed. You know, God never designed for us to have sickness, to have cripples, to have all these different diseases that come upon us. No. That's what sin brought in. See, sin brought that in. That wasn't God's design. That was man's work, man's sin. And that brought it upon man. But our God in there is this, we made us a spirit, a soul, and a body. Because God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, knew that this creation in His image would have a free will. Satan was loose, and Satan would be able to go out there and tempt them. They were given the commands. They were equipped to be able to stand against Satan. They were told, don't eat of that fruit. If you do, you die. They were told everything, what not to do, what to do. And if they don't do it, then there's a consequence. See, disobedience to God has a consequence. Growing up in the home, disobedience to the rules of the home, there's a consequence. About every job that you have, there are certain rules you got to go by, and if you don't, there's a consequence. So understand, getting mad because there's a consequence for not being able to fulfill the lust of your flesh in a church, just understand that is... That standard is for your good. It's for the glory of God and for your good. And so, these three divine persons knew what would happen. And that's why it was designed that Jesus would have a body to pay the penalty for our sin. That was determined before the foundation of the world. Now, when we think that since we have a soul and a spirit, you got to understand when Jesus became a human, He became fully human. Now, He didn't give up His deity. Some people believe that He abandoned His deity. No, He did not. He was still God. I mean, we know that because at the cross, He didn't really say, I could pray right now and ask the Father to send me 12 legions of angels. No, He could call 12 legions of angels at that very moment. That's why He could calm the sea. But yet, in a body, He was demonstrating faith for us. Faith in prayer, faith in so many things, He was demonstrating for us. Amen. When angels were sent to Him to minister to Him in the mountain at the temptation, it's through His prayer. Satan left Him alone. Those angels came. In Gethsemane, when He was sweating those huge drops, and He prayed, we find out that the Lord sent angels, the Father sent angels to minister to his humanity. But on the cross, his humanity would not have any ministry. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? There was always that help. But now, it's not the fact that he ceased to be God at that moment. He did not. But by his love and choice, he chose not to use his deity throughout his entire lifetime. And as a matter of fact, when he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? His humanity desired, I believe, not to take him out of the suffering pain, but to have the encouragement of the angels to be there with him. But that would not come. And we learn that we are to endure sufferings from the Savior, even on the cross. And so he continued on the cross, and he gave it all for us. And so Jesus, he had a soul. He looks at Jerusalem, there in Matthew 23. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and killest them that were sent to thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a chicken gathereth her hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. And through tears he says, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. You see, Jesus knew what he could do for their house. Jesus knows what he can do for you and for me. But we've got to walk in the Spirit, which is walking in obedience to the Word of God, not just in this body, but in this spirit and in this soul. You know, when often what I have gathered with you, yes, that's what Jesus is telling us. You think I would have gathered? How often? Often. Anytime there's a trial, anytime there's a problem, often. He would have done it at any time. It was they who turned their back on him. You remember, a lot of these fundamental churches today that have gone other directions, which in as a result killed missions. But these churches that have turned other directions, understand, they came under fire and they went that other direction. They went that other pressure. And they did not walk with God, and they lost it all. The weeping of Christ is a result of his soul directing his body, because the soul is the seat of our emotions. And so in the seat of our emotions, when you allow your body to be directed by your emotions only, your body's going to make a lot of mistakes. But your body, God provided that you can cry, but it's your spirit that directs your soul to let him know, yeah, cry for that soul that's going to hell. Yeah, cry for that child that's turned their back on Christ. Have that compassion. Have that tear. The spirit of the man is his inner man. I sometimes call it the seat of man's intellect. You know, it's in that very seat, that depth of the spirit, of our own human spirit, we make life decisions. Some chose, okay, I'm going to be a doctor, I'm going to be a nurse, I'm going to be a mechanic, I'm going to be this. Others decided about marriage. I mean, A lot of times, you know, when you think about marriage and they're making that decision about marriage, they've got to go through a lot of decisions of like, what would this man be as a father? What would this lady be as a mother? Would they leave me in the time of troubles? Would they leave me when all these problems are hitting home? What would they do? And so you get into those things and you begin to find that the spirit that you have can make decisions on that. But you see, if that spirit is not directed by God, then that human spirit you have may make decisions that guide your emotions and your soul to fulfill the lust and the desires of the flesh. You're a spirit, you're a soul. See, you're not a body first. No, you are a spirit first. You're a man with a body that has a spirit and a soul. And the spirit is the image of God in which you were made, in which I was made. That spirit has a free will, as we've told you so often. And so then, we've got to decide if we're going to let God direct us through our own human spirit that makes those down deep decisions of life. How you raise your children. When you say no, when you know people you love want you to say yes, but you know to say no is the right thing. And you see, it's when we get off that, we get our soul begins to lead us, then we see all these things that begin to happen. For an example, anger. Some people just snap at the drop of a button, as they say. And sure. And it's their soul may begin to direct their lives. Anger is so easy for them. They get upset about anything. It may be sexual deviation. And the soul desires begin to take over. And it drives the body to all types of fornication. If the body is in charge, or should I say, if the soul is in charge, and then the body is responding to that soul very much, then the body will also generate desires. For example, gluttony is a result of that. Drugs is a result of it, but it was started by the soul giving those feelings. Immorality, things that are in spirit and soul, you know, are wrong. But it overtakes the spirit and soul. And so the body is stirred to fulfill those lusts. And the inner man is seen when we give in to those lusts. That's what happened to Eve. We'll say more about that in just a little bit. But understand, with Jesus Christ, when he was making his high priestly prayer, and he's getting ready for his crucifixion, he's praying for these people. I mean, John 17, he's praying for people. And he's, John 18, you get to where he's being crucified. He's saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. But he's also praying for the people who are going to get saved because he's going to that cross. That's the inner man. Today, men don't know the evil impact of what they do. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 points out, Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. You see, all those that their soul and their spirit was leading them instead of the Spirit of God, walking in God's Spirit, walking in God's Word, when those things took over, and instead of walking in the Spirit of God, they began to walk in that spirit that makes those decisions that were influenced by its soul, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and so forth, those things begin to work. And they give in. Well, we find there that here they see Christ coming in the clouds. They're going to weep. They're going to wail because of him. And yet the Bible said there, even so, amen. In other words, so be it. You can blame people for your failures. And people have an influence. I mean, look at the serpent had an influence on Eve. But God held Eve accountable in childbirth. You're going to have a lot of sorrow. That pain. Adam, his wasn't deceit. His was presumptuous. He knew he was doing wrong. He wasn't deceived. But there was a consequence. He would live by the sweat of his brow, and his spirit would depart that body when he could have had. You know, I think one thing about the millennium is we will be able to see how the earth would have been had Adam and Eve not fallen. Now, don't lay all the blame of your life on Adam and Eve. You were born with a free will as well. So, when we think on these things, sometimes we want to blame. You know, I've heard people blame when their children get in trouble. Well, that person was a bad influence, this person. And I've often said, if your child runs with the wrong crowd, they are the wrong crowd. Don't blame the crowd. If they're going with those people, they are the wrong crowd. Yours is to pray them out of that wrong crowd. Yours is to try to seek to get them out of that wrong crowd, not blame the wrong crowd. No, their own spirit and soul already knew it was wrong. That's why they try to hide those things from you. They know it's wrong. So if you're going to walk in the Spirit, walk according to the Word of God and walk in His power, led by the Spirit of God that He gave us at our salvation to indwell us. You know, I mentioned fornication. Look, people get hooked on pornography. They get hooked on so many other things. A man cheats on his wife, a wife cheats on her husband, or whatever the situation may be, and they'll say, well, I love them. No, you didn't love them. That was simply the lust of the flesh. The soul pushing the lust of the flesh because your spirit is not walking with God. And because your spirit doesn't walk with God, those things happen. There never was love. That's why those things break up so quickly afterwards. And so, there's a decision that you have to make, and that decision impacts the body. I'm going to give you this verse. I've still got quite a ways to go, and I'm not going to go all the way on that. Maybe we'll get it next Sunday night. I don't know yet. But I want to read from 1 John, because it's important that you know what God says. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then he goes on to speak of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, you look at Adam and Eve. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, okay, the food, her flesh, and was pleasant to the eyes, okay, that's during the lustful desires. And to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof. Now that was the pride of life. And you often find that those three things that the Lord warns us about in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, are very true in the Christian life. But that's the way Satan tries to trip you up, and it's going to be the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. And that has wrecked so many homes as well as Christian lives. And that's always, always, always wrong. Verses that need to be in your heart, knowing the difference between good and evil. Know that difference so that the very moment the temptation hits your eyes, and it hits your eyes with a, oh, that's not really so bad. You know how those preachers are. You know, they preach about these things, have no idea what they're talking about. Well, the only reason it stirred you up that way is because evidently they said the right thing, and the spirit that's within you now is trying to oppose that holy message. So in walking in the Spirit, stay in the Word of God. Get to know the Lord so well. I mean, know Him so well that the very moment something you say, well, man, there's no scripture for that, but it doesn't seem right, but I don't see a scripture for it. You may not have a scripture for it, but you know God is holy, and you can't see God doing that. Okay? Get to know the person of God, and let the person of God, through His Word and His Holy Spirit in you, direct your paths. That's victory. We have a woke world about us? Yes, we do. Does it go against everything that you believe? Yes, it does. Is it greater than our God? A billion times no. No. Our God is all powerful. He has all authority, and He's almighty. He has all strength to do. That is why each of us, if we walk with the Lord, walking in the Spirit, then we can say, I can do all things which strengtheneth me. And that's true. But it's not true in your life until you do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Friend, that promises to every one of us. Walk in the Spirit, walk in the Lord, walk in His Word. Ask God to teach you that Word every moment to help have the Holy Spirit open your understanding to every time you're in the Word of God to its truth. Walk in the Spirit. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, in a moment we're going to have a hymn of invitation. I have decided to follow Jesus. And that is really what this is about, following Jesus. Help us just to know Him more intimately, each one of us, Lord, to know our Lord and Savior so much more intimately, to know right off the bat what offends Him, what would offend Him. Lord, I just pray that we would be more concerned about pleasing the Lord than we are about pleasing our flesh. Help us. We are a needy people. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.